everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Robbie. This episode frustrated me to no end, but yeah, it's fine.
That's what I would have just said. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's all it
is. I feel like that, as we often say here, they have the core of a really interesting episode, but they wasted their time doing other stuff. Mostly jokes that aren't even jokes.
We are writing about our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can access all of our bonus content. For $5 a month, you can get access to that much, much more, including all the episodes that have fallen off the main feed, every episode early, uncut. We have someone to thank, Matthew.
Oh, fantastic.
Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
This week's episode, Ned and Edna's Bland Agenda. Oh, excuse me. Ned and Edna's Blend Agenda.
I see what you did there.
I'm not even the only person who made the joke, but it's right there. It's right there. Episode PABF 15, originally aired May 13th, 2005. Written 2005? That's not right. Where did I copy that? 2012. I don't know how I got 2005 on there, because that's not right. I don't want to go back to 2005.
Is that where the couch gag was from?
Yeah, that's probably what it was. I don't know. It would have been this season. I don't know why I put it in 2005. Written by Jeff Westbrook, directed by Chuck Sheets, received a 2.3 rating with 4.1 million viewers. The chalkboard gag, call your mother during the commercials.
Always good advice.
Call your mom instead of watching this episode. That's what you should.
Even better.
That's a better use of time. The couch gag repeated the couch gag from The Full Monty, which, if you don't remember, is the Avatar couch gag, where they all get into Na'vi bodies and jump onto flying couches. This episode guest stars Marsha Wallace as Edna, doing her best to elevate material, which is not very good. That's what I would say. Also, this intro is full length, super long couch gag. We don't start the show until a minute and 43 seconds, Matt. I don't think they want to make it.
No, and it kills me because this is an episode that's really interesting, and I feel like there's good times for it.
They don't care. They're not going to listen. If they're listening to this, they certainly aren't going to argue with me about it. But it feels like they don't want to be The Simpsons anymore. Yeah. That's what this feels like. They put in the barest episode to make, quote unquote, make it a Simpsons episode, meaning having some kind of character do something, have a plot. But they just don't. They don't want to do that. They just want to write jokes. They don't want to have to worry about story structure or character development or themes. They just want to have Family Guy. They just want to be disconnected jokes. They just want to do bits. That's all they want to do, because there is a story in this episode. A Ned and Edna story about raising Rod and Todd, how they want to raise their children.
Which, not that you know it from the amount of time spent on it.
No, they get it is in the vaguest, broadest, loosest definition, there is a story. It is introduced. There's development. Conflicts introduced, and then they resolve it. But it feels like every one of those steps gets a single scene, like the barest of minimum. I will say that there's some Simpsons episodes, especially this season, that don't do any of those things. So that's why this episode is upgraded to like a fine, Matt. This episode is upgraded to bland, which is another great word to describe it. It is bland. it is unflavored gelatin is how I would describe this episode. It is just barely substance.
There's lots of stuff about this episode I would have enjoyed, like if we had taken the time just to actually have the conflict earlier than the third act, because if I'm looking at the notes correctly, I think I have it. It's at the end of the second act, that's when we go to the thing. An interesting thing happens, and then the problem occurs in Act 3, the end of Act 3. So we are 16 minutes in before the actual conflict rears its head. So they have 5 minutes for something to happen and for the conflict to be resolved. And this is a really tough conflict that should not be resolved quickly. But
no, it shouldn't be literally a scene where they decide that Ned can... There's like two scenes and Ned goes, oh yeah, I was wrong. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks. This is just a very bland. And this is an episode where Homer ends up playing Jesus in it. And you're like, how could that be bland? Oh, they find ways. Like I said, the episode starts at 1:43. Okay, we've already cut 2 minutes off the runtime of this thing, basically. We have the return of Chaz Busby.
Blessedly short.
I mean, Matt, at this point, Matt, Chaz at least is like character. It's something. Like, it's not like Chaz, like, at least challenging the bland accusation of this episode. But they're putting on the passion play. I don't know why. Why is the passion play the because they want to introduce Flanders into this? Like, I guess that's it. But
I think they just had Homer as Jesus jokes, quite frankly. And they're like, how can we work this in? And they're like, oh, you know, how do we? Because the crux of the issue is, how do we reveal to the world that Ned and Edna secretly got married? This is what they came up with.
We're gonna have a discussion about that, Matt. But not luckily for us. Unfortunately for us, that revelation doesn't come until almost over 7 minutes into this episode. So yes, this is all inciting incident to nothing, effectively, because you don't need any of this to get to the reveal. The reveal could be any number of ways. I was saying this in our Bob's Burgers Patreon review this week, but when you write something, you decide how it goes. That's the beauty of it. You just get to decide. You don't have to. There's no one telling you. There's no police that's going to say, oh, you got to wait 7 minutes to get the reveal. Like, no, you don't. You could do it at 2 minutes in. You could literally start the episode with a big reveal. Chaz Busby's here, putting on the passion play. Milhouse is auditioning for a child pointing, fails. Homer doesn't want to audition. Bart and Lisa are auditioning for, like, I guess, leprosy victims or something. Who cares? We see Flanders audition for Chaz, and Flanders has been Jesus multiple times. This is the first time I'm going to say this, Matt. It might not be the last in this episode. Who is this man?
Who is Chad Busby?
No, Ned Flanders. Who's this man? Who's Ned Flanders? Who is this man? I don't recognize this. This is not Ned to me, Matt. I don't know, like, at this point, I don't know what or who Ned is. What is Ned?
Well, that's the problem, is they first started out he's the perfect neighbor, then they moved him to super churchy guy, and now this Flanders is far more accommodating than we're used to. So like you said, they're transitioning him into something. He's almost going back to perfect neighbor guy, but he's not the perfect neighbor. He's just kind of a guy who is getting remarried. Like, a lot of what came in with Flanders's characterization earlier is just kind of ignored here.
That's the thing. I don't know who this is anymore. He's certainly not the Ned I have in my mind when I think of who's Ned Flanders. I don't know who this is. There's even a part of me that's like, would Ned even want to play Jesus? Would Ned think that?
Wouldn't he think that would be blasphemous?
Yeah, that's the thing to me. Like, Ned would go, no one should play Christ. It's no one can be Christ. That's the whole thing. But he has played Jesus a lot. Chaz is bored, so he quickly assigns Flanders to be a Pharisee, which feels like an ultimate slight.
Right.
But Flanders agrees. And don't worry, there's no actual character development about Flanders having to play a villain from the Bible, effectively. Or, I don't know, antagonist from the Bible. Are the Pharisees technically, would you call it, categorize them as villains, man?
I would call them antagonists at
best. Okay, I mean, they do help kill Jesus, but whatever. So, Homer's there. He hears hears Chaz reject Flanders, and Homer quickly auditions and gets the part.
Jesus didn't stammer. His voice hit the back of the theater. He was a god who turned water into wine and did not wear shoes.
Ooh.
He said simple things that many followed.
Just like me on Twitter.
And he was tragically killed while still in his 30s.
Stop!
After an all-night dinner.
Woohoo! I'm your Jesus. Me.
Boom. Done. This guy's perfect. You understand why God would have forsaken him.
Well, congratulations, Homer. I guess this is just my cross to bear.
What's that a reference to?
I included that joke, Matt, because
you hate us.
It's an example. It's a good example. I think it's a representative example of the kind of jokes we're going to get in this episode, for the most part. I did say, I don't think I laughed anything. I did, like, smile a couple times, man. I'll say that. Like, there's a couple ones like, oh, that's fun. That's a good, that's smart. Like, I had that. I had that reaction, but no laugh out loud moments.
No, no, goodness no.
Goodness no. So,
well, it's season 23 of The Simpsons. I'm going to say goodness no to a laugh out loud. Even on the fun thing Bart would never do again, I don't think I laughed out loud at any point.
I think I laughed a couple times at that. I will say.
Maybe the Treat Williams joke. Maybe I laughed at that.
Maybe I laughed at Treat Williams.
What? I'm in a lot of movies.
I'm in a lot of movies. He is. Hey, Treat Williams is in a lot of movies. So Homer is now cast as Christ. Nowhere near the plot yet, guys. Don't worry. This is effectively the B plot, I guess, is Homer as Jesus. Because it
takes
we
don't have much of a B plot, but there's definitely a stinger at the end.
I guess the B plot is them throwing the party. I guess that's what it, like, and this is all just inciting
incident. Kinda, yeah.
So this is just an inciting incident. Lisa warns Homer, like, hey, people take Jesus seriously. And okay. Is Homer human, man? Like, I feel like we're just so far gone. How would Homer, who goes to church every week, not know how important Jesus is?
Well, Robbie, it turns out Homer doesn't pay attention to anything ever.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you go back and watch season 5 of The Simpsons. Homer, like, is an idiot, yeah, but he's still, like, human. He still, like, has ears. He still, like, is Homer is not believable as anything but, like, this strange construction of a man who's, like, both a cartoon character and Homer Simpson. I think this is it, Matt. They write Homer like he knows that Homer Simpson, that he's a character, right? He knows that he's a character on a television
show.
Well,
they write him as a dumber Forrest Gump, and I'm like, you can't get much dumber than that. Sorry, guys.
Whatever. So Homer, like, goes, oh, Homer, like, I guess Lisa telling him makes him realize, oh, I have to do good. I have to do well at this. So we cut to the play, the Passion Play, which is taking place out in the open somewhere. I don't know why or where. You would think they would use this example to poke fun at institutional religion or Christianity.
But no, we don't.
They don't do that. I don't know. That's the thing where, like, and all the jokes are really, like, hacky Bible jokes. So you're just like, these are the jokes that a youth pastor tells at church.
Oh, I was going to say that they're old person jokes again, but you're right. These are youth pastor jokes. Oh, boy.
Like, this entire first act is youth pastor jokes. And I would know. I went to church for a long time, and these are youth pastor jokes. And they're very bad. They're very hacky. And it doesn't – I don't know that this inciting incident is not worth these jokes. That's the thing, Matt. Like, I fully believe they had Homer as Jesus jokes, and that's why they did this. But it's not worth it, man. Homer does a good job as Jesus. Okay, cool.
It's completely inconsistent with everything else he does in this episode. But sure, why not? I guess
whatever. We watch like 2 minutes of a Passion Play, Matt. That's all this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, guys, I don't want to watch this. I'm not interested. I don't want to watch the Passion Play with the Simpsons cast. I have zero interest in this. I don't even know if Christians have an interest in this. Like, maybe they do because this feels like a step up from VeggieTales. Maybe not even a step up. I don't know how many of you are familiar with VeggieTales.
No, this is definitely below VeggieTales. Far below.
This is below VeggieTales, Matt? Whoo, boy. Yeah. Matt just not holding back punches today. So Homer does a good job. They get to the crucifixion, and Homer is up there with Snake and Mole Man as the two other crucifixion victims.
And obviously Snake is playing Barabbas.
Of course. I mean, I'll say that, good casting. That's a good if you're going to put someone in the show as Barabbas, Snake's a good choice. But Flanders has been watching Homer this throughout the play, and it's actually like, oh, Homer's doing a good job. I shouldn't have judged him. I shouldn't have assumed that he would do a poor job, but he's actually done a very good job. And how does that have anything to do with the rest of this episode? Nope. Nothing to do. This is not a Flanders Homer episode. You don't need to, this is interesting enough character development. And like, Matt, if this whole episode was about them putting on the passion play and Ned getting respect for Homer, okay, this would make perfect sense. It's not about
that.
This feels like an entirely separate episode occurring only in this first act. So the cross breaks because Homer's too fat. Funny. Isn't that funny?
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. If it breaks for Homer, it would break for me too. Sorry.
Matt, they just went,
Homer fat, huh?
Homer fat, cross break. Like, you can make other more smarter fat jokes than we break the cross. It's literally, okay. So the cross breaks and Homer falls directly on Ned. This is the other thing where, like, that would kill you. Ned's dead now. Flanders is dead. Like, directly in the back of his neck, the cross and Homer's weight.
He either would die or be incredibly hurt.
So Flanders is hurt. They're taking him to the hospital. And this is where we get the big reveal.
Diddly, doodly. No atheist blood, please.
Sorry, ma'am. Only members of the immediate family allowed in.
It's okay. She's my wife.
Ned and Edna married?
That's right.
Ha! Oh, wow. My goodness.
Hey, Dad, you remember when you said if Flanders got remarried, you'd eat your hat?
Uh-oh. Ooh, licorice. Historically inaccurate.
Who comes up with these jokes?
This is what you said, Matt. They had Homer Jesus jokes. And they're like, well, the crown of thorns. What if it was licorice? This is technically the start of the story, where we find that Ned and Edna have gotten married. And the story and the very loosest, broadest definition is them trying to co-parent and what to do with Rod and Todd and their upbringing. Okay. My first question, all of this, Matt, is there's not a part of me that believes that Ned would ever let them have a secret marriage.
Sorry, you said Homer wouldn't allow them to have a secret marriage?
No, Ned would never believe. Oh, Ned would never allow them to have a secret marriage. Ned would have them make it. Where did they get married? Do they say in this episode where they got married?
They do. They get married in the Springfield Presbyterianism church. Reverend Lovejoy is doing the officiating, and Ned's parents are there.
Right. Okay. But they don't have. No one else is invited? Like, that's the craziest thing to me, Matt. Like, Ned is religious, but religious people want lots of people at their wedding.
Not necessarily. I don't think that is a trait of religious people. Oh, you're religious, so you want all the people. And Flanders' particular evangelical strain, maybe. But, I mean, I don't know that that's true, honestly. Maybe Flanders was maybe a little embarrassed to be marrying Edna, so he wanted to kept quiet kind of thing. Because he knows, you know, what a bunch of gossips the rest of the town is.
You know what that sounds like, Matt? That sounds like an episode.
A good episode?
That sounds like a good episode. that's the thing, Matt. My first question is, it's mechanically, like, why would we skip that? Why would we just not have an episode? Like, oh, we're going to have Ned and Edna are going to be, they're going to be married, canonically. It's going to happen. They're going to stay married. Okay, why on earth wouldn't you have an episode about it? They are writing episodes about the loosest things this season. Why on earth wouldn't you take that opportunity and have an episode where you literally have this discussion? This is the episode. Is Ned going, oh, well, I'm getting remarried, and frankly, Matt, it is basically an ethos of evangelical Christianity, is that yes, it is a good and rightful thing to have many people, not necessarily have a big an expensive ceremony, but you want to share your love, this holy Christian love, with as many people, all the people that are close to you. You want to share it. So it is a right thing to do to invite them at least to the church. If you want to have a small party or whatever, I fully buy Ned would not have a big ceremony. But are you telling me Edna, who's never had a successful relationship in her life, doesn't want to celebrate that?
I mean, that's true, but Edna has also been married before, so I generally feel like second weddings are not always, but very often much smaller than first weddings. And maybe Edna, I feel like Edna would want to keep it quiet just as much as Ned would. But you're right. This is a very interesting episode that we just kind of skip all over. Like, at the beginning of Act Two, we get the whole town going nuts over what's happening, but then them secretly being married, and then we just ignore it for the rest of the episode. It's bizarre.
And, like, that in and of itself feels, again, like an episode where, like, oh, we're keeping it secret. They just gloss over, oh, yeah, we've kept it secret. And you're like, who decided? Did they decide that together? Like, that's such a it's so strange. Like, it feels neither of these people to me say, I'm not going to tell people that I'm married. Like, this is the other thing, Matt. Is Ned walking around without a ring on?
And yeah, no one noticed Edna's ring, which she is obviously wearing in the scene.
Like, if you have a ring on, everyone notices. Okay? Everyone knows. Especially as a dude, like, you are immediately like, oh, every time I meet a new woman for any reason, social reason, they're like, oh, where's your wife? Who's your wife? Who are you married to? Like, people notice. It's ingrained in your raised that way to notice. So it's like, it's all these, like, again, it's not that this episode couldn't just do it. It's not like, again, it's not breaking the law, but it feels like it wasn't written by humans. Right? It feels like it was not written by people who live on Earth, because it just ignores so many social contracts we have. But Ned and Edna are married, Matt. They're married. That's it. They're married.
Yep. We don't care. The only thing we go on from this later is that, oh, Marge throws them a wedding party. That's as far as we get.
Yeah. We go to commercial, 7 minutes and 32 seconds. Hoo boy.
And when we come back. Sorry. When we come back, Flanders is in the hospital, and Edna is there with him, and we get a sort of explanation as to why this wasn't a bigger thing.
Well, it was nice having a secret marriage while it lasted.
Well, sir, now we'll have an open marriage.
You do know what that means.
No, but I'm sure Newt Gingrich wouldn't steer us wrong.
At least in the hospital, we can just enjoy a nice, quiet moment together.
Congratulations, you two. We're so, so happy for you.
Welcome to marriage. Another good man bites the dust.
Homer?
I'm talking about this guy. Oh, I sure envy him.
Homer?
I mean, I envy Flanders. Once again, enjoying the joys of marriage. Let's put it to a vote, America.
Enough with the voting. Ned, Edna, why didn't you tell us?
Because everyone in this town makes such a big heckabaloo out of everything.
Netting bells are ringing. See what happens when Teachy met Preachy on Channel 6, your source for news-based puns.
I was just down the hall getting some very bad news, and I saw there's a party going on.
Congratulations from the mayor, Vote Quimby.
Many happy returns.
Hope you're both happy.
Edna is the runner-up in the race for your heart. I would like to make a toast. My dearest, let me be the first to offer you the hearty handshake that would have climaxed our own wedding day.
Seymour, did you use my wig glue to patch your shoes again?
I tied them together with used dental floss, as per your memo.
Everybody out. Now. Not you.
So, yes, I think this is supposed to be their explanation for, oh, why does nobody know about this? But honestly, meh.
But Matt, it just doesn't. We don't want anyone to know, because if they knew, they would talk about it.
Yeah, what? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
What on earth? Yeah, they're good. Yes, and what's happening now? Oh, they're talking. Yeah, it's okay. Let's keep moving.
We'll keep moving. So after this, we see Flanders is home. I guess his head injury is back to normal. But the Flanders kids don't know what to call Edna. They give her some other names. They refuse to call her Edna because that's disrespectful. And, of course, this is when Homer and Marge show up, because if Homer and Marge aren't in every scene, you might forget you're watching The Simpsons. They offer to throw them a wedding party, and they accept. There's some terrible jokes about Homer butting in, looping his belt through Flanders' belt loop. It's supposed to be jokes. So Edna's having a hard time relating to Rod and Todd. There's a day which they don't have school. Flanders has to go to work, and Edna is home because no one has to go to school. So she tries to, you know, play some games with them, but they can't use dice. They can't do all kinds of other things that normal kids do. For some reason, Barth shows up at the window, which is open in a rainstorm. Good idea. And tells her to, oh, she has to get the boys out in the real world. This kind of comes back, but not really. It kind of seems superfluous.
Like, if this was one scene, Matt, among many more about Ned and Edna trying to be parents together, I'd be like, it's a good flavor, right? It's a piece of the puzzle. But because we get so little of Rod and Todd in this, that this episode's ostensibly about them dealing with school. Like, we do not see. Do we even see them in the elementary school one time?
The boys, no.
No, not at one. That's the most baffling thing to me, because this is what this episode's about. It's about them switching schools and Ned and Edna, like,
Robbie. As soon, like I said, she doesn't pull the boys out of school until 14 minutes and 40 seconds. When she pulls them out. Like, they don't have time to put them there, because they waste all the time on this, oh, Flanders and Edna are secretly married thing. Like, this should have been two separate episodes, but we've been through that. So, meanwhile, Marge and Lisa are looking at wedding stuff. This whole bit just is interminable. They're at a wedding store looking at, you know, stuff for this party. All the other women of town are mad at Marge that she's the one who gets to throw Ned and Edna party. Like, especially Helen Lovejoy, of course. And then we get to what I think is the most tasteless and stupid part of this episode, which is really saying something. Flanders can't take the boys to a parent-teacher conference because he has an LGBT meeting, which it's like left-handed something by something trans-handed people. Like, oh, this is great. Just jokes about gay people, but they're left-handed. Like, see, oh, wow, this is...
Matt, this is the thing. You used the word jokes in our notes.
But would you prefer I said attacks?
They're not See, that's the thing, Matt. They're not attacks either. They are. It's bland. It's just bland. That's all of this is. It feels like, oh, they're like, it feels again. It feels like I'm reading Facebook memes, right? You're just, it's
Facebook,
like,
memes by old people, which is, you know, the same thing.
Well, they're not funny. They're funny only to other old people on Facebook, but they're not funny to, like, even the people who agree with them. They don't think they're funny because they're just so boring. They're so bland. Like, you think they're trying to, what are they saying here when they have, like, oh, we're just gonna have, like, a bunch of left-handed people act like they're stand-ins for gay stereotypes or trans stereotypes, even? Like, I don't even know what, like, I'm, it's so bland and boring, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't know what the joke is supposed to be. Like, it's just, I'm befuddled by this. Like, it's, and there's also, like, weird, like, left right politics jokes in here, I guess. It's such a, and why is it, it's so weird, like, it's so bad that I don't know what someone explain the joke to me. Because I don't get it. Maybe I'm just dumb,
but it's just not funny.
I'm just dumb, man. I just don't understand the Simpsons' really intelligent humor. That might be it.
Oh, if only.
Okay.
Anyway, so Ned can't attend the parent-teacher conference, so Edna volunteers to go in his place. Ned is a little worried about this, but says, you know what? You're the boy's mother now. You go ahead. And then, well, it goes about as well as you'd expect.
Well, I must say, at this school, we've never seen a step-parent before.
Look, I'm a chalk jockey too, so don't slap ketchup on bread and tell me it's Pizza Friday.
You teach with that mouth?
Yes, I teach at Springfield Elementary, and we believe that...
Public school? Well, I'll be a monkey's unrelated creature. Well, we'll fit you into our school prayers.
You do have science here, right?
We sure do. Behold, advanced astronomy.
You pull the boys out of school?
Ned, I know I should have consulted you, but that school is beneath them. Take my word as a teacher of 15 years.
Well, sir, when we got married, I knew I'd find some spices in my chili. I guess they can go to Springfield Elementary.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here, Neddy?
Well, first of all, I think talking dogs are the spawn of the devil.
Yeah, but...
Secondly, we're watching my little Toddy graduate from college.
Oh, Now, aren't you glad you let Edna take charge of the boy's education?
Yep. It's lucky she's not my taxes, because I underestimated her. Wait a minute. Liberal professors, feminist workshops, abstract sculptures. This isn't a Midwestern Bible college. This is an elite East Coast university.
It's okay, Daddy. I majored in religious studies.
Whew.
Comparative religious studies.
So, yes, the last bit was a claymation dream that Ned had of what will happen if his kids go to public school, God forbid. Yeah, definitely on Edna's side here. But, yeah, this is not great.
I like you said earlier, Matt, there's like a core here, something that could be really interesting, and you could develop it into like a really good story and make it multifaceted, make it about how, well, yeah, Edna would know. She is a teacher. And as, hey, from personal experience, private Christian schools are terrible. They're bad. All they do is delay the inevitable where your child reaches the real world and realizes everything they've been taught is at best a something to quote unquote protect them, and at worst just outright lies. So you're just, it's only a matter of time, and they're also very expensive. I don't know how much money Ned and Edna make together with their left-handed store and being a teacher, but it's not a lot. But on the other hand, she does do it without asking him. They're his kids. She should ask, regardless of how she feels. And conflict. Hey, there's conflict, Matt. Like, that's, and you could have scenes where we see the kids in public schools and how they react to it and how they feel. Rod and Ton basically have no feelings. They're like two little automatons. They're not, they don't care. Like, oh, they're just so, they're so naive and gullible and like, and pliable. They're just like, oh yeah, we like things. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, what, do they have feelings? Barlisa have feelings? Do Rod and Todd not care about things? Guess not.
Apparently not. I mean, Rod and Todd, like you said, are little automatons that Flanders has raised to do nothing.
And so, like, we could go, oh, well, we don't get any real discussion about any of these things. Any of the ideas of, like, oh, how do you want, what do you want your boys to be when they grow up, right? Isn't that the idea of this? Is, like, Ned wants to have children that he's proud of as they grow up, and you could have discussions about that, and you could have about the connection obviously to Maud and her passing, and like treat Ned like he's a real human.
No, can't do that.
No. Oh, so, and there, we get the Davy and Goliath thing here too, Matt.
We do, yes, of the talking dog that is a tool of the devil, obviously.
But we get the claymation sequence in particular. It looks nice.
Right.
It looks cool. We get the nightmare dream sequence where it's in claymation. It looks neat. I like it.
I like the idea that nightmares are in claymation in the Simpsons universe.
I've never had a claymation nightmare, to be fair, so maybe it is just in the Simpsons universe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But anyway, after this discussion, we go to a commercial.
When we come back, 14 minutes and 40 seconds. That's right. 14 minutes and 40 seconds. There are 6 minutes left this episode, roughly. 6 minutes. And now we have, okay, we have the beginning of conflict, but it has not actually hit its peak yet. This is introduction to conflict, really. We're at the wedding party, I guess, that Marge and Homer are throwing and for Ned and Edna. And everyone's invited. Marge threw a great party. Everyone's having a good time, at least so far. This is where we see, I guess, the after effects of Rod and Todd going to public school. Again, we don't hear what they actually think about their time. We don't see them in school. Like, we can't see them in school. We can't see them in a class.
We don't have time, Robbie. If the first half of this episode hadn't been about the secret wedding thing, we would have time to see this and see them get their temporary tattoos and light up shoes. But no.
They have temporary tattoos. They like them. They have light up shoes. They like them. Yeah, no kidding. They like them. Light up shoes, they're for children because they like. I mean, even as an adult, can I have some light up shoes?
They do make them.
Mm. Okay, this is the important question, Matt. Do they have like art support and like really good like hot like I need my grandpa shoes. Do I have?
Robbie. Like New Balance, Hoka.
Does Hoka or New Balance make light up shoes for grandpas?
No, I'm afraid not, Robbie.
Oh no, mess so well then. So they're there, and you see them in these with the temporary tattoos and light up shoes, which are very mild, Matt. Like, it's very mild things. And Ned flips out, right? Ned, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
Is them wearing light-up shoes and having temporary tattoos. This is where we get Ned and Edna arguing at the party, and then a little joke about the three-act structure at the end.
So how do the boys like Springfield Elementary?
Marge, it's wonderful. They're opening up. They've seen a wider world.
I wrote with a flare pen.
Well, that's just great, boys. Now, come over here so Mrs. Simpson can take a photo.
Make sure our temporary tats are in the picture. Mine's a sassy princess who speaks her mind.
Oh!
Mine's a duck with no pants.
What if we were raptured right now?
Ned, I said it was okay.
Yeah, chillax, Daddy.
Chillax? Young man in the Flanders house, we speak the king's diddly.
Time for cake. Let's finish this sucker up.
You get my boys tattoos, you change their school, you buy Rod sneakers that light up like Times Square. Shoes are shoes and lights are lights. Now, just when do I get a say in how my boys are raised? This marriage isn't perfect.
No video. Party over. Cake!
Too late, Marge. Ned, these boys trust me to be their mother. You'd better decide whether you do.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
I'm with Mo on this one. But I really liked what Edna says about... these boys trust me to be their mother. You'll have to decide if you do too, or something along those lines. Like that, that is a really good line that should have happened an entire act, the end of the previous act at best.
See, that's the thing, man. It's if it took place in an episode where all this stuff, like we again saw all the scenes that they guessed they didn't have time for, that's really powerful. And Marsha Wallace is doing her best. Like she's selling it. It's just that there's no, we don't get those scenes. The only scene we have is Edna deciding to take them out of this Christian school and put them in a public school. And then we see them with some temporary tattoos and light up shoes. And like, there's no other, and Ned having a nightmare, which is, again, if it was a part of a greater episode that had more of this, you'd go, oh, that makes sense. It is influencing Ned's attitude and his feelings without actually showing anything concrete or real that is actually affecting his children. It's more about his worries and his anxiety and his fears. But we just get, instead, we get scenes where Marge is breaking up Lindsay Nagel and the sea captain at this party. Why is that in this episode? Why is that here? Why, like, is this necessary? Is that funny? Like, we get a cutaway gag from the sea captain talking about who he's hooking up with. Like, what is this? What are we doing? That's insane.
Be nice, Robbie. I'd love to know.
I'm with Mo. I'm Matt. If it was up to me, I'd be done with this. I'd stop right now. I don't need to see Act 4. There's three acts and I'm done. But it's not. We go to our final commercial at 16 minutes and 59 seconds.
And when we come back, unfortunately, we have a very abbreviated fourth act. So I guess Ned Flanders stayed with the Simpsons that night because he was just too angry to go home. I guess Rod and Todd went home with Edna, but Ned trusts her that much, at least, say not to take care of his kids overnight. Marge and Homer have a fight because I guess Bart is keeping a dolphin in the tub. We find out as the scene ends that that's what the problem is.
What is this?
Robbie, No. I refuse to discuss how stupid this is. We're moving past this because it's dumb.
Okay.
It is a manufactured conflict to show that, oh, Marge and Homer have different opinions on how to discipline their kids and what is appropriate for their kids. And Ned thinks, oh, well, if Homer and Marge have been together for however long, and they still disagree. Maybe Ned, maybe I and Edna can, you know, have the same thing. Edna and I can, you know, deal with this on a case by case basis kind of thing. This is basically the beginning of the wrap up of the climax. That's it. Ned just has to see that, oh, other people have this problem too. Obviously, I can get over this, I guess. So we go straight to a school assembly where they're giving the kids the answers, which, yeah, good luck getting kids to memorize strings of letters sung in a song. Oh, whatever. But Ned interrupts the assembly to tell Edna how he feels.
Pause the assembly. I have to talk to my wife.
Ned?
My rival.
Some rivalry. It's like Secretariat versus a can of dog food.
Edna, I'm sorry, and I'll say it in front of God or Groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, Ned, I'm sorry, too. I overstepped your boundaries. I guess I never really, truly cared about children before. I'll get over it. And, Ned, I'll be exactly as much mom as you want me to be.
Hey, the Simpsons make it up as they go along, and they're as happy as a ribbon in a Bible. What do you say, sweetie?
Ha! Mm.
Yeah, Robbie. And that's it. This one thing that they didn't have done together. They're back together. They both agree, oh, hey, you know, I should have respect your stuff. You should respect my stuff. We'll try to be better in the future. And that's it. That's the end of the conflict.
It just started.
Not the end of the episode, unfortunately, but that's the end of the conflict.
It just started, man. How do we... No one had, like, all that... One, we don't get anything from Edna, by the way. Not a single...
No,
nothing. We don't see Edna... Like, you know what would be a great scene, Matt? Yeah, this is just me, like, spitballing. It would be a great scene at this exact moment is, like, okay, Flanders is with the Simpsons. And, like, yes, this... I would have made it anything but about Bart having a dolphin in his bathtub. It's just the stupidest thing. But Marge and Homer fighting or are having an argument. Yes, it happens. No matter how long you're with somebody, you're going to have arguments. It's normal. It's okay. You go to Edna at the same time where she's being a mother to Rod and Todd. There, you have her alone. Like, we just get no scenes with Ed. Like, the only scene we get of Edna doing anything with agency is her at the Christian school pulling the kids out. And, like, it, again, as a whole, as a piece of a puzzle, that'd be great. But we don't know why. So she's apologizing to Ned. Where does her part of this realization, where she goes, oh, right, I can't act universally about these kids. They're not just my kids. We are sharing, like, we have to share this relationship. We have to share our decision-making about how to raise these children. And we have to compromise. But we just get Ned in the middle of a Simpsons argument and then going, and then stopping a school assembly to apologize. Why on earth? What is this? Do they have brain damage, Matt? Like,
yes, obviously. Very obviously.
Like, why on this? Why is this at school? Why isn't this private? Why isn't this hat in hand Ned walking back to his house next door? Or Edna coming home from work and Ned having done something to, like, or waiting for her to talk? Like, it's like this big, broad, why is this like this? And this episode isn't even that bad. Like, it's just very, like, so there's so much it could do and so little it actually does. It just does the bare minimum. It barely is a Simpsons episode. Matt, what's the actual ending of this episode?
Oh, thank you for asking, Rob, because I really didn't want to talk about it, trying to avoid it. So we then go to a scene where Homer is portraying Jesus at the opening of a payday lending store and gets struck by lightning and asks Jesus, or asks God, how often is this going to happen every time I open one of these? Jokes. Yeah, right.
Jokes. Oh, boy. Well, that's not it, Matt. We get one other thing.
We get Ned rapping over the credits, I guess.
I mean, it's not I guess. That is what it is.
Yeah.
It's very bad. I don't know why it's here either. Like, I don't know, like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, why? Like, that's the thing, man, where I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? What are you doing? What, like, is this like, is this like jokes for you? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like they're just like being self-indulgent. It'd be funny if Ned rapped. It'd be terrible. Let's do that. Millions of people watch this show, guys. Millions of people. And this is what you're giving me. Jesus, Homer Jesus, Passion Plays, Sea Captain and Lindsay Nagel hooking up, Rod and Todd, Temporary Tattoos. I did like, here, man, I'm going to point this out. We're going to end on a positive note. I did like Superintendent Chalmers comparing Ned and Skinner with, one is a racehorse. Why can't remember the name?
Racehorse versus dog food. Secretariat versus
Secretariat versus dog food. I thought that was that made me go, that's a good dunk. Dunk on Skinner. Boy. This episode is fine.
It's fine. Like you said, it's honestly kind of better than our Bob's Burgers episode this week. But the real problem is they stuck two episodes in one, and then both of them just feel completely unfinished.
It does the bare minimum to tell a story, which is more than some episodes have done. I'll say that, but it is still the bare minimum. Like, is that what you're happy with? I don't know. It's fine. It's just bland. It's just so bland, man. It's so bland. Like, I can't, that's the other thing, like, what, like, we have 7 minutes of this. Actually, it's like 5 minutes because the intro takes so long, or 6 minutes, but of the Passion Play stuff, and you have, like, it feels like, oh, it's there to, oh, we could have some fun, we could challenge the church, you know, anti-authoritarianism, that's what The Simpsons built, you know, it's about challenging authority, right? And you think, oh, Chaz Busby, he's not Christian. Why would he, you know, what kind of fun, like, sacrilegious flair could you throw on this with? And Chaz could be infuriating Ned with all these things. But he doesn't. It's just, all this is the Passion Play. Like, there's nothing else. Like, it's not like, did the church hire Chaz? Like, there's so many questions. You're like, what is the point of this? And you're like, when you get back to it, man, you spin back around. You're like, oh, this Homer just as Jesus jokes. That's all he had.
Yep.
We'll rank this episode at the end of the show.
Robbie, is this episode broken?
No.
No, it's just poorly done.
No, it's not broken. It's like right on the other end of it. It's right on the... I can't say it is. I want to, Matt. I desperately want to. But it does... It meets the bare minimum. It skates by. Is that good? No. It is not a good thing. It is not, we don't want, that's not where The Simpsons should be, skating by, just barely passing. It's like a D. So it's like a D minus, where it's a like, D-. You know, it's almost there. It almost fails, but not quite. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comes to News Group is where I ask our patrons over there at patreon.com/TheSimpsonShow what they thought about the episode. Join us and support us at any level, even $1 a month, and you can leave a review. I'll read them on air. First from Dara, The Good, the Davy and Goliath parody, Secretariat versus Dog Food, Edna saying, this is the first time I've cared about kids, Team Tebow as a star on the astronomy chart, and the Ned Flanders rap on the closing credits. We didn't mention Tim Tebow, Matt.
Oh, very... pointedly did not mention Tim Tebow.
But we both were in Florida, and, you know, either went to or know people who went to UF. And you, if you don't like Tim Tebow in that very particular time period, you are in it. You were inundated with Tim Tebow. Like, I don't think you people outside of Floridians understand this. Like, I'm sure all y'all got. All y'all got lots of Tim Tebow. I'm sure you did. You did not. You don't understand the bombardment we received of Tim Tebow, especially in that, like, you know, when he was on the championship teams and right afterwards. It was, it's insane. And I think I just wanted, like, I'm sure some people would get a lot of joy out of seeing this Tim Tebow joke. All I get is just a PTSD. I just go like, oh no, not Tim Tebow, please. That's all I get. Continuing, Dara. The mediocre, everything else. This episode could have been more and kept having moments that felt like it could be interesting, and then nothing. For a Mother's Day episode, maybe spend more time with Edna being a mom. Instead, the Passion Play and Ned's usual religious one notes made me wonder why this wasn't aired on Easter. I've avoided using the Z word, but this definitely felt like a zombie Simpsons episode. This season full of bad, of dull, like this episode is good enough to be the 8th best episode of season 23. Nah, make it 9th. Jeremy Irons is more memorable than this. Ooh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Worse than the bar rag episode. Ooh, I don't know about that. We'll see. From Derek, It's remarkable how something can be so unremarkable. There's quite a richness in the potential for storylines with this Ned and Edna dynamic. Two children who haven't quite processed their mother's passing, a widowed father who has taken a very steadfast turn to rather worrisome values, a divorcee who has lost her passion. You can really see the stories, Rod and Todd, the clash in parenting styles, and the way Ned and Edna could change each other for the better. Zombie Simpsons would rather not do that, just brush against those themes while bloating the episode with crap gag after crap gag. I know my aforementioned ideas for stories with these two don't sound rife with comedic potential, but then again, say the basic premise of classic Simps, and they don't sound like laugh riots either. Kirk and Luann get divorced, Homer contemplates leaving his family behind for a woman, Homer undergoes heart surgery with a strong chance of not surviving, Flanders loses his house after a hurricane, the family are left homeless, except these were all hilarious while expanding our characters. This is so lazy and, you guessed it, boring. So much I tried to watch this, I knew the next thing you know, I'm waking up at 16:30. 16:30? I gotta do math.
Oh, come on. 24-hour time is not difficult.
Oh, Derek. You see, you have an ally.
Even put a colon in there for you weirdos.
You have an ally in Matt. I'm just not gonna. I like my AMs, and my PMs. I'm a big fan. Watching Zombie Simpsons is a risky business. Was so behind on my work today. Thanks, Ned and Edna's bland agenda, or whatever the hell it is. See, Derek also made the bland agenda joke. But it, again, it's right there. From Tim, I actually found this to be enjoyable after a terribly long inciting incident. In the end, something odd happened. I cared, and I laughed at Edna's crack about the first kid she's cared about. I laughed at Cigarette Mommy, and who wouldn't want Captain McAllister to hook up with Lindsay Nagel? Well, I guess I'm one of those people, Tim. On the other hand, two straight episodes parody movies that were 8 years old, and don't Rod and Todd attend Springfield Elementary? Episode number 300, canon after discussion, and shorten the inciting incident to a male person misdirecting junk mail intended for Ned to Marge, who immediately gets everyone in town gossiping. That, I'm on board
wow.
with that. I'm right
Hell
there.
Yeah, that right there sounds like it better than the first two acts.
That's so much better. Thank you, Tim. That's a good idea. That's what immediately. See?
Yeah, a letter goes to Mrs. Ned Flanders, and Marge is like, Mrs. Ned Flanders? Haha, what? But then she realizes it. Easy peasy.
Yeah. No, and we don't get.
But then you get Homer Jesus jokes, which is a downside for some, but great for us.
Oh God almighty. From JJ. With the exception of Homer, who they are incapable of writing like a normal human anymore, this is a serviceable follow-up to the original Edna episode. I think a story about Edna feeling pressure to live up to Maude, who doesn't even get a mention, would have been more interesting, but her and Ned clashing over parenting styles also makes sense. Ned and Edna are the only interesting thing to have happened in forever. Their dynamic feels fresh, and it forces the writers to tell an actual story with characters who feel real. Maybe trim the inciting incident in Homer's screen time. Also, I laughed pretty hard at the super pro-left-handed guy claiming that to live among right-handed people is to die. I think I disagree with that, though. That's the thing. Where, like, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not clearly not. I'm not left-handed, but you know what I mean. To live with a bunch of monsters, man, it is to die. I lived in Texas. You can support us again at any level on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow, and you can join our cavalcade of calamity, our parade of pain, and leave your reviews for new episodes, I guess. You know what I mean. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Simpsons quote about food? Lots of really good answers, as always. Matt, take it away.
All right. First up from JJ, you don't win friends with salad. You don't win friends with salad. From Tim, too many choices here. Let's go with Bart. Full speed ahead. Damn the torpedoes. Grandpa, what'd he say? Put on our tuxedos? Crazy old man. I want some taquitos. Taquitos do sound good.
They do sound good.
From Dara, from the Itchy and Scratchy the movie. Marge, we'll bring back dinner. Lisa, what are we going to have? Homer, well, that depends on what your teachers say. If you've been good, pizza. If you've been bad, let's see, poison. Lisa, what if one of us has been good and one of us has been bad? Bart, poison pizza. Homer, oh no, I'm not making two stops. from Aaron, so many good ones from New Kid on the Block. I'll go with, that man ate all our shrimp and two plastic lobsters. Tis no man. Tis a remorseless eating machine. Arr. From Zach, how can you make me choose just one? Fine, I'll go with this delightful little exchange at the dinner table. Homer, more of these lamb chops. These are the best ever. Marge, why thank you, homie. You might say the extra ingredient is salt. And she's right. Lamb is a pretty gamey meat to begin with. So a little extra salt, especially if you use it to tenderize it, makes it a lot better. From Andy, Homer, aw, $20. I wanted a peanut. Homer's brain, $20 can buy many peanuts. Explain how. Money can be exchanged for goods and services. Oh, man. I think we ranked Boy Scouts in the Hood too low in retrospect. It's got like some of the best jokes.
It's very, anyway. I think, Matt, it's very funny, but not a lot of character development in it.
No, there's really not. But man, is it funny. God, that's when they knew how to write jokes. All right, from Derek. Eminently quotable line from Bart's friend falls in love. Homer, lamentably no. My gastronomic capacity knows no satiety. That's one I could use every minute of every day. Oh, boy, Derek. You and me both, bud. Jeez. Had a whole loaf of banana bread sitting in my fridge. My gastronomic capacity is killing me.
No one made no one made you make that banana bread, Matt.
Well, I had bananas going bad, and I had chocolate chips and walnuts.
You freeze the bananas.
No.
Chop them in pieces and freeze them.
Lionel Hutz, Mrs. Simpson, what did you and your husband do after you were ejected from the restaurant, Marge? We pretty much went straight home. Mrs. Simpson, you're under oath. We drove around until 3 a.m. looking for another all-you-can-eat fish restaurant. And when you couldn't find one, we went fishing.
That's very good.
That's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. From Adrian. Lisa, honey, are you saying you're never going to eat meat again? What about bacon? No. Ham? No. Pork chops? Dad, those all come from the same animal. Yeah, right, Lisa. A wonderful, magical animal. It is tough not eating pigs. That is... I could go without beef the rest of my life, no problem. But pigs, they taste way too good. For the few things I miss about red meat. From Jonathan. Principal Skinner. The year was 1968. We were on recon in a steaming Mekong Delta. An overheated private removed his flak jacket, revealing a t-shirt with an ironed-on sporting the mad slogan, Up with Miniskirts. Well, we all had a good laugh, even though I didn't quite understand it. But our momentary lapse of concentration allowed Charlie to get the drop on us. I spent the next 3 years in a POW camp, forced to subsist on a thin stew made of fish, vegetables, prawns, coconut milk, and four kinds of rice. It came close to madness trying to find it here in the States, but they just can't get the spices right. This will always get you. From Linus, I'm going to cheat a little and say Homer's response to Lisa getting rid of the pig and Lisa the vegetarian. It's just a little dirty. It's still good. It's still good. It's just a little slimy. It's still good. It's still good. It's just a little airborne. It's still good. It's still good. And then Mr. Burns talking to Smithers. You know, Smithers, I think I might donate $1 million to the local orphanage. When pigs fly, Homer's roast flies by. Will you be donating the $1 million now, sir? No, I'd still rather not.
They don't even include...
I guess that's tangentially food related.
We don't include... It's gone.
Yeah, I know. All right, from Timothy, Mo. And bring us your finest food stuff with the second finest. The Gilded Truffle Waiter. Excellent, sir. Lobster stuff with tacos. I mean, you put lobster in tacos, so why not lobster stuff with lobster tacos? I mean, it's just tacos.
At this point, Matt, you're just getting cornbread stuffing at that stuff, like at that point. Like, it's not...
Oh, for sure.
You just want the stuff... Like, I can... Do you want lobster with tacos? Like, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of lobster, period. Whatever.
It's not worth the amount of money it costs.
It really isn't. Just give me shrimp.
I'm just going to say, yeah, or crab or whatever.
Okay. So from Iron Sheik 84, I am going on a diet. From this day forward, I pledge there will be no pork chop too succulent, no donut too tasty, no pizza too laden with delicious toppings to prevent me from reaching my scientifically determined ideal weight. As God is my witness, I'll always go hungry again. Don't shut up, Homer's stomach gurgling. From Yes I Would Get, I'm sorry, man, but everything on the menu has fish in it. What about the bread? Does that have much fish in it? Yes. Well, I have some Tic Tacs in my purse. Excellent choice. And the gentleman? All you can eat. All you can eat. All right, when you're ready, take this plate over. Please, sir, don't take the steam tray. You have a whole steam tray full of fried shrimp at an all you can eat fish buffet. I'm just saying. Plates aren't enough. Next up from Peon 2. Do they have Krusty's partially gelatinated non-dairy gum-based beverages? Yeah, they call them shakes. Huh. Shakes. You don't know what you're getting. I mean, that's a good point, honestly.
Don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, from Real Insanity, to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Robbie, what is your response?
I've waffled a lot on this, Matt. Nothing. I get no joke. I don't get no laugh from my waffle.
I mean, as long as it's not a moon waffle. You can waffle on it. Just don't moon waffle on it.
I know. My answer, I'm keep going back to my original answer, which is you don't want friends with salad.
Damn it, Robbie. That's 2 weeks in a row we've had the same one.
You don't want friends with salad. This is simple life's
truth. You
don't want
friends with salad. I mean, you should bring a salad, but you're not going to get friends for a salad.
It's just...
You get friends with cookies or cakes or my banana pudding.
I'm not against eating salads from time to time, Matt. But it's like, and this is, I think, a thing I contrast to with my wife, who's like, we'll go out to like a restaurant and, you know, we'll order a bunch of stuff and, you know, we'll get appetizers or we're going to order things for the table. And she's always like, oh, we need to get something, get some vegetables, get a salad, get something green. I'm like, why? Why are we?
No. If you're gonna get vegetables, get some vegetables swimming in butter. Some nice Brussels sprouts or asparagus.
See, that's the thing, man. I don't want those things. I don't want that. I want, like, I'm not there. I can make that at home. I can cook up some vegetables. I can make a salad. Like, why am I going? It's fine. You don't make friends with salad. And I just that is playing on a loop in my head, Matt. It's like, you don't make friends with salad, right? You want to impress somebody. You don't make them a salad. That's the other thing. We've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley lately, me and my wife.
And everyone likes salads there. You're like, what kind of weird village is this?
That's the thing. And we are playing co-op game, and I am not making zero attempt to become friends with anyone in town. I have zero hearts with everyone. And she is repeatedly, you know, every week given more salads and more salads. And I'm like, at a certain point, it becomes like a lunacy where, like, you have this person walking around town with salads, just handing them out to everyone. And everyone's like, oh, thanks. I'm like, if I...
Robbie, I just want to interject here. It's very hard for me to make a salad for myself because I'm never excited about eating a salad. So when it comes time to make a meal, I'm like, I'm not going to make a salad. Unless you really get some great toppings, it's kind of boring. But if somebody gives me a salad, I'll be like, you know what? I will eat this because I didn't have to prepare it. So I get it.
Man, you're talking to the wrong guy. During the pandemic, I ate salads like 3 times a week. For like years. I would roast a whole rotisserie chicken and just eat chicken Caesar salads. Like for literally 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. Because I'm a maniac like that. And I love my salads. My salads are great because I put exactly what I want in them.
Yep.
That's the thing. That's the other thing I don't like from ordering salads in restaurants. Like, I have my particular things I want in a salad, and very rarely do I order a salad and they give me exactly what I want. I always have to be like, I don't want that in there, but I want this in there. And blah. See, now we're just talking about salads. Next week's question, what is your favorite Ned Flanders quote? We probably have done this one relatively recently. I don't care.
There are a lot more. Pick a different one than you did last time.
Yeah, pick a different one. Or pick the same one. I don't remember. I don't remember anything. My memory is just gone. Like, I don't remember. Like, I know we did this. I just don't remember it, and I'm not going to go track it down. So who cares? Everyone likes it. You're listening to Simpsons podcast. We all love Ned. At least Golden Years Ned. The charlatan is in this episode. But whatever. I'll post this question on our subreddit. That is reddit.com/r/TheSimpsonsShow. You can find it on our Patreon. Patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. Posted publicly. So as long as you follow us on there, you can answer. You don't need to support us, even though we'd appreciate it. You can also just email us, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Everyone has email. Email is still a very versatile and incredible tool that a lot of people don't take advantage of. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge, where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, and 1 hard. We have 2 episodes remaining in this season, Matt, including this one. And I have a 5-point lead on you. 5 points. I just got to hold on. But I'm a little worried this week.
A little worried, huh?
Okay. Yeah, because I'm worried my questions are too easy.
Oh, okay.
But I like them, so I'm not going to change them. I'm going to play a little fast and loose today, see how it goes. What's my easy question?
All right, your easy question. In 3 Gays of the Condo, who is the musical guest?
It's Weird Al.
You are correct. For real, Al. He could have been in one of the good episodes.
He deserves a way better episode.
He deserves an episode all about him, playing himself.
Honestly, he should have. Yeah, honestly, they should have brought him in. Just let him be a guest character. Easy question, Matt. In I'm With Cupid. Let me start over. I'm With Cupid is centered around what holiday?
I believe that is Valentine's Day.
That's true. That's correct.
All right. Your medium question. In the beginning of 3 Gays of the Condo, and Marge and Homer are arguing, they flash back to an early date of ours.
Sea Captain.
He infected me. An early date where Homer is drunk and asks Marge to feed him pizza while he plays video games. Homer says he loves who in this episode or in this section?
Homer loves. You're making me remember Three Gays of the Condo, Matt. I guess like there's it's just like I look there and it's just file not found. Like I don't know, there's just nothing there. Homer loves. I love. He's drunk. I love Mandy.
I'm sorry, Robbie. He loves Atari.
Oh, Atari.
Because he's playing asteroids.
Of course.
The brave crew of the SS Triangle.
That feels like that's not even, like, that's anachronistic at that point, even in that point of the show. Like, they flash back and Homer's playing Atari. Wouldn't he be playing, like, NES at that point? Like, if we're going to actually,
this was
with the sliding time scale? Like
14, season, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
So they'd be like, they would at least have NES. Whatever. Whatever. All right, man. This is a question I'm a little nervous about. One, because you might know it, or two, I might have asked you it before. But we'll see. Or you'll go, Robbie, I hate you. That's not fair. Those are the three responses that's going to happen.
Okay.
Elton John sings what song to Manjula in I'm with Cupid?
Oh, God. Don't know if I know what the song is. You're making me, I could sing the lyrics in my head. Like if I was a sculptor, but then again, no, my gift is my song, yeah. And this one's from Apu. But I don't know the name of that song. You're requiring me to know things outside of the episode.
What's the name of the song, Matt?
I don't know. My gift is my song. I have no clue what the song is named.
Can you name any? Okay, this is an addendum. This is not necessarily going to get you any points, but I'm curious about this. Uh-huh. Can you name any Elton John songs?
Oh, Saturday Night is for Fighting, Rocket Man. oh, gosh. Candle in the Wind. That's about it.
No Benny and the Jets?
Oh, yeah. I often forget that's Elton John, but yeah.
I'm surprised. That's you know. See, okay, man, if you had told me I don't know any Elton John songs, I would go, okay, I get it. But you know all those, and this song is as famous as those songs. And it's very simple. It's Your Song. That's the name of the song. Your Song.
I have never heard the name of that song ever.
Well, that's unfortunate for you. What's my...
mm-hmm. All right. Your hard question.
Mm-hmm.
When Homer is looking for an apartment, he goes to Springfield's gay district. There are four stores.
Oh, no.
If you get two of them, you get 1 point.
Oh, God.
Three of them, you get 2 points. Four of them, you get 3 points.
Oh, wow. I'm like, that's really nice, man. I don't know any. That's good. Well, let me think of really bad offensive stereotypes about gay people. I'm sure that's probably what all of them are using. Light in the loafers. That's all I got. I could think of really offensive things, but I'm not just going to yell them out on air on a podcast. So that's all I got. Light in the loafers. That seems like a Simpsons stupid gay joke.
Well, unfortunately, that is none of them.
Okay, good.
The actual ones are Fab Abs, Alternative Knife Styles, Armistead's Mopeds. I don't know if that's a joke or just gay people like mopeds. And Scone Wall Bakery.
Oh, okay. Well, that last
one... At least
one,
two of those, I'm like, okay, there's some thought went into that.
That well, yeah. Armistead's Mopeds?
Yeah.
I'm getting lots of things referencing from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
No, yeah, there's no... I think they just came up with them. I don't think they... I think they came up... We have gay men like mopeds, so...
Yes.
I didn't know that's a stereotype.
Hey, it turns out when there's you basically stay within your neighborhood, you don't have to own a car. You can get by with just a moped. What a crazy idea.
Or just walking. Just walking with your feet.
Or on roller skates like Smithers.
Roller skates scare me. Your hard question, Matt. What's in I'm with Cupid, what sections of the newspaper does Homer throw away? There are four of them.
Okay. Let's see. I want to say it's... he throws away World, Metro. I'm actually going to take some time on this because I need these points. I'm trying to remember, is this the correct episode? Like, is this the one I'm thinking of? No, this is the wrong episode. I'm thinking of the wrong episode. Crap. Yeah, I have no idea. This is I'm thinking of a different episode.
You are indeed thinking of a different episode, Matt. Yeah. He pulls out four sections of the newspaper. They are Outlook, Vista, Spotlight, and Mosaic.
What even are those, Lord?
I mean, this is right at the time when there's like bloated newspaper sections where it's all, and they're all like lifestyle, different lifestyle sections. So this is that, I think. It's like right before newspapers started dying.
I guess so.
Tied today, Matt, 1-1. So I still have a 5-point lead on you, which makes me feel nice. The worst I can do, as long as I get the easy question next week, the worst I can do is tie for this season. But you should just study up on your Elton John, Matt.
Apparently, I need to know Elton John songs for my Simpsons trivia.
I mean, yeah. He is in an episode and he sings a song. Mm-hmm. So if I ask you what the song Tom Jones sings in a Simpsons episode, is that not allowed?
I mean, I happen to know that one, but
so that one's okay because you know.
No. I just said I wouldn't think that was a good question.
See, this is how I view it. Matt. The questions that benefit me are good ones, and the ones that don't benefit me are bad ones. So this one benefits me, therefore, easy math.
Uh huh. I bet.
Hey, you're the one who asked me about a season 14 episode. All right, that should be illegal.
Okay,
that should be against the law. That's it for trivia. We can move on to our next segment. Our final segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically, watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I have no idea what to do with this thing.
It's tough, right?
It's not good. It's not terrible. Goodness, no. It's very bland. It's very boring. I didn't laugh.
But it's not bad.
It's not bad. Like, it has some, like, again, there are moments where the Ned and Enda stuff shines through and is pretty good. But there's no support for any of it. It's just like, again, it is just barely like brushing up against those themes. It is just like hinting at those ideas. And they act like there's way more scenes in this episode than there are. Again, they just expect us to fill in the gaps. Like, where's the scene Rod and Todd with Edna? More of them alone. Where's more scenes with Edna together? Like, we need more of those scenes. It just feels obvious to me, and it's baffling that we don't have them.
I'm looking around 300. Because I was looking below that, and I'm seeing some episodes. I'm just like, ugh. Romeo Old and Juliet, Seven Beer Snitch, Old Man in the Key. I would much rather watch these. I mean, this episode wasn't funny. But, like, those are just actively awful. I mean, My Fair Laddie is 322, and...
I just don't know, man. What's Girls Just Want to Have Sums? Which one is that?
It's the one where Lisa has a team that does math. Like, a math team, I think. Oh, it's where Lisa pretends to be a boy so she can attend math class.
Yeah. I don't remember. Matt, I literally don't remember it. I'm really trying to pull it out. I can't. If you want to get good trivia questions for next week, do that one. I don't remember a thing about it.
It wasn't that mean. I try to keep it till before season 15 because, you know, we both seen those episodes at least more than once.
Skinner's Sense of Snow is number 306. I'd rather watch that episode again than this.
Yeah, me too.
It's not, sadly. It's the episode's chaos and has no, like, it's all nonsense, but it's has jokes. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. And I would say Mr. Spritz Goes to Washington is 310, and I would rather watch that again as well.
Romeo Old and Juliet is right below that.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember it? I'm assuming it has something to do with Mr. Burns.
Maybe.
Or Grandpa? It's Grandpa.
It's an Abe episode. It's just your friend Constance Harm in it. Oh, that's where Abe and Selma go out.
This is better than that.
Yeah.
So, if you think this is worse than Mr. Spritz Goes to Washington, is that what you're saying, Matt?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Then it's not. It's better than Romeo Old and Juliet. It puts it right there in the middle.
Yeah.
I think, oh boy. I think if this episode was all Nedna stuff, man, be a lot higher. Be a lot higher. Oh, for sure.
If we get rid of all the Homer Jesus stuff, it'd be great.
But it's not. That's the problem. There's like six scenes, and everything else is really bad jokes that make me real tired. So it gets put right here. That's a new number 311. We just missed 311 day, Matt.
Yep.
Amber is the color of your energy.
Yay.
Not a 311 fan, Matt?
I don't really care.
Okay, that's not answering my question, Matt.
No, I'm not a 311 fan.
Okay, that's...
No,
that's,
I hate their music, I just don't care.
That's what I'm saying. When I ask you a yes or no question, I don't want a third option. I would like you to give me a yes or a no. I don't really care. Well, I don't really care about this episode, but we still have to rank it. So, that is a new number 311 on our list. Ned and Ned's Blend Agenda. We didn't really talk about the name. I hate the name. Why? Why can't we just call the episode what it is? Why do we have to be smart? Nothing else in this episode is smart. Why you gotta be smart about the okay. Number 119 in the Post Golden Years ranking is right between Romeo and Juliet and Mr. Spritz Goes to Washington. We're not done though yet. We got one more thing to do. One more question to answer. That question is, do we shoot this episode out of the cannon?
The cannon! The cannon! The cannon!
The cannon! The cannon!
Yay.
I don't think we should shoot it out of the cannon because as bland and as boring as it is, it does include some stuff that is interesting. Like it's got, we find out that Ned and Edna are married. We find out that they're having trouble with how to raise Rod and Todd. And just there's potential for interestingness that will stem out of this later. I doubt it will be realized, but.
Can we Solomon this baby, Matt? That's my real question. Like, can we cut this into pieces and cut this into pieces and shoot the bad parts into the sun and keep only the good things? No, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can't cut the baby in half. It has to stay. And I agree. I think it stays in the canon. Reluctantly, because I really don't like those parts of it that aren't Ed and Edna stuff. It's very bad. The more I talk about it, the more I dislike the passion play stuff. Like, it's just so... God, it's just so... Like, when I made that youth pastor joke, now that's all I'm thinking about, Matt. It's all I'm thinking about is some idiot in a polo shirt sitting backwards on a chair rapping to me about Jesus, and I just want to throw up. But the Nedna stuff is interesting at times, and I think if it was fully realized, it would be great, but... It's not. So it's down here at 311. It stays in the canon, though. We don't shoot the canon for that. We have one more question, though. That is number 182. As we work our way down the list, it is The Trouble with Trillions.
Ooh, that's interesting.
The Trillion Dollar Bill.
Oh, that's...
It stays, man. It stays.
Yeah.
It stays.
The Trillion Dollar Bill is idiotic, and Homer working for the FBI is pretty dumb, but, you know.
When we're going to be talking about most of these Scullier episodes that are in this part of the list, they're here because they're funny, right? It's not true. Not because there's character development. You know, we are past the point of episodes that have everything. You know, the best episodes of Simpsons, they have everything. They have heart. They have jokes. They have social commentary. They look great. They're clever and inventive. We're at this is 182 on the list. It's got jokes. It's fun. You know, it's madcap. Does it make sense? No, not really. Don't think about it too much. But it's funny. So who cares? You know? And that's pretty much their rationale, I'm pretty sure. They're like, it's funny, who cares? And then unfortunately we got to the point where there was no, it's funny, who cares? It's just, who cares? Make an episode. We got to get it out. Hurry up. Who cares? This doesn't make any sense. Who cares? It's not funny. Who cares? We got to make 20 of these things. Hurry up. Trouble Train stays. Should rewatch Trouble Trains. I haven't watched in a very long time. Probably since, I'm pretty sure since we did another podcast, which was, God knows how long you're going now at this point. I'm going to look up the Trouble Trains on the podcast. Realize we did like 7 years ago or something like that.
At least, yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Trouble with Trillions was what, season 9?
Season 9, yeah.
I can't do math. 14 years ago, so yeah, at least 7. Or 14 episodes, seasons, so at least 7 years.
God almighty. What am I doing with my life?
2017! Woo!
Yeah, there you go. Math checks out. So that stays. We didn't fire the cannon this week, Matt. Say what you want.
That makes it a pretty good week.
This is a pretty good week. Good almighty. Oh, gosh. I don't like that. Don't tell me that, man. Oh, this was a good week, was it? I guess it was. It's better than Bart getting groomed by a teenage girl. It's better than that, right? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can find this list at our website, along with everything else. Our next episode, it's here, Matt. One, it's the last episode of season 23.
Woo!
And another one of those revered worst episode ever's candidates.
Oh, gosh.
Lisa Goes Gaga.
Oh, I don't remember much about this, so this will be interesting.
I mean, I've never seen it. So I know that Lady Gaga plays a very prominent role in this episode. Will I hate it? I don't know. I have nothing against Lady Gaga. I think she's a...
But Gaga does play herself, as I recall.
She does. And like, what people have told me is that this episode literally is about Lady Gaga. Like, it's not about, you know, it's about Lisa and Lady Gaga. Like, it's not like, oh, she's a guest bit and she appears once. It's like, no, this is a Lady Gaga episode, literally. And I'm curious, honestly, maybe morbidly curious, but I am curious. Maybe I'll like it. I probably won't like it, but maybe I'll like it.
Maybe you won't hate it. That's the best we can go. Well, expect.
It's the last episode of season 23, Matt. There's that. You know, whatever it is, there will be no more 23. We'll move on to 24 afterwards. But that's next week. You can watch along with us. If you join us on our Patreon, you can leave a review as well. It's patreon.com. I'll plug it one more time. patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. You can find me online. Before we go, you can find me online at Robbie Dorman. That's my name. RobbieDorman.com. That's Dorman with one O, Matt. That's how you spell it. DORMAN. If you search, like, I assume also, guys, you have Google Foo. Like, you search, like, The Simpsons Show and my name, like, Google will probably autocorrect you. I'm the most famous Robbie Dorman there is, though. I'll say that, Matt. There's no other Robbie Dorman more famous than me. If you Google me, guess what comes up? Me. All my books. And that's what I'm going to tell you. Go buy my books. I have 15 of them out. Now, by the time you're listening to this, my 15th book, This Book is Cursed, is probably out. It's probably out if you're listening to this. Unless you're listening to this on Sunday night. My book comes out the Monday after this episode comes out. You should go buy it. It's about a cursed choose-your-own-adventure book, Twilight Zone-esque story, about a book that a choose-your-own-adventure book that kills you if you don't follow the right path. I think it's really good. I got my early reviews out, and they're all very glowing and very kind. I think you should, just go buy it. It's wherever you buy books. You can buy my book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever digital source or bookstore you'd like, order it. If you want to use bookshop.org and give your money to a local indie bookstore, that'd be great as well. Doesn't matter much to me. You can also get signed copies from me myself on my website. If you expect me to ever stop yelling at you about my books, bad news for you. I'm never going to stop. You should go buy it.
Buy my book.
Buy my book.
I heard Robbie's voice saying that.
I'm working, Matt. I'm working on a project involving some buy my book gift potential. It's in the works. I'm gonna.
You're gonna get a little cardboard standee of yourself that just says that over and over again.
I'm at least exploring the feasibility of such a thing, Matt. But buy my books, and obviously you can follow me on social media, all that stuff. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That is true. I spend all of my time taking care of kittens, which you can see at kittenturns.org or at kittenturns, KittenTurns on Instagram. We just got a mom and three absolutely adorable babies. You can see pictures of them in either place. They are incredibly adorable. And if you perhaps live in the Central Florida area, maybe you could adopt the cutest kittens that have ever existed. They don't have eyes yet, but they will eventually.
They have eyes, yeah. Matt. They're just not
okay,
showing.
They have eyes.
Don't say that. Don't say
their eyelids
they don't
are just closed.
Don't say they don't have eyes. That's terrible.
Fine. Their eyes haven't opened yet.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, yes, check out cute kittens and possibly get one for yourself. Or a mama cat, a very, very sweet mama cat. Had a rough life on the streets, but now she's getting wet food three times a day.
Ooh, pretty good.
Great.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
Thank you, buddy.
Shh.